Located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and thank you for being here for our Easter Day service today. It's a blessing to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ and celebrate our Lord's resurrection together. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio on KSBK right now. Thanks for joining us for our service as well. Just a brief note in your bulletin on page 8, we did make a hymn change. So instead of hymn 463 on page 8, we'll sing hymn 465 today. So that's our only adjustment to the bulletin. We have a beautiful service plan for you. We're super glad that you're here, and thanks again for joining us. This morning, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing our opening hymn, 352, Let the Earth Now Praise the Lord. And we stand and turn and face the cross for our procession. Let's sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his
feet. Lord Jesus, especially on this glorious morning, search our hearts and minds, that we may receive your word, share in your spirit, and be renewed in our relationships with you and with one another. With humble hearts, let us pray together.
Lord Jesus, the Father's only Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, hear us as we pray.
Your Father led his people of old to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. You also have promised us the gift of unending life, which we sinners do not deserve.
Our rebellion against you, thought, word, and action, is why you died for us.
To forgive our sins, to redeem our lives, and to cancel the debt we owe to God.
With hearts that are humble and lives that are grateful, help us to receive your grace, bow before you in worship, and confess that you alone are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, shows his mercy to us in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. On this very day, he conquered sin and death, opening for us the way to everlasting life in the promised land of heaven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of praise today? That's hymn 457, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your servant Joshua led the children of Israel through the waters of the Jordan River into a land flowing with milk and honey. Where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we have the blessing of enjoying some special music by our TLC singers.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 15th chapter. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, there is still a stone, till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
We continue with our responsive psalm from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
The epistle is from Acts, the 10th chapter. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is acceptable is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Congregation, to please stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. We continue now with our hymn of the day. That's the hymn we made the change to. We're singing 465. Now all the vault of heaven resounds.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. He is risen. This morning on the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, it will behoove us to pay close attention to the angel's words in verse 6 of our reading. The angel tells the women, "He is risen." And so today we rejoice in and celebrate his resurrection this morning and all that it means to us. Our dreaded foe, death, has been defeated forever. Things happen in our world, but they won't last because of Jesus. Sin is disarmed. Satan has met his end. Jesus lives. The victory is won. But the angel said something else in that short verse, something that draws us deep into the scriptures. Something that makes us think long and hard, not just about Christ's resurrection, but about every single word that he ever said. Every word before his resurrection and after his resurrection. The angel said, "He is risen," and also in verse 6, one other little statement, but it's huge. He says he's risen as he said. Three words. As he said. He told them he would rise again. That's what the angel's referencing. He told you, right? Just as he told you or just as he said. But it seems they doubted. Headed to the tomb to anoint him, had their spices and all on the way, acting as if Jesus was just some normal sinner. Recall our Lord told his disciples in Luke 18, verses 31 to 33. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." I love how he says that, will be accomplished. There's no question mark. There's no, well, if this happens, then maybe this will happen. That's how our lives go, right? But not for Jesus. Will be accomplished. He goes on, "For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon." And verse 33 says, "After flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." The resurrection is the proof, the solid, unchangeable evidence that every single word that Jesus spoke is true. He said they would mock him. They did. He said they would spit on him and treat him shamefully. They did. He said they would kill him. And they did. He said he would rise again, and he did. And now his followers are face to face in our reading with the truth of Jesus' words. He is risen just as he said. And Jesus said many other things to them and to us. Death was unable to hold him because there was absolutely no deceit in him. Other than reading our Bibles, we don't really know that world of no deceit in anyone. None in him, no sin, no false motivations. Every word he spoke was perfect and pure. But these words of the angels, "He is risen just as he said," causes us to reconsider again, all that he taught us. His teachings are all pure. His word is all truth. Everything he says, whether it fits with our lives or whether it doesn't. So his resurrection, Easter, puts us in an interesting spot. Now that the proof of his divinity has been laid out to us with an empty tomb and appearances to his disciples and many others, now there can be no questions. He is God, and everything he said is perfect truth. But will we heed his word? Will we submit ourselves to learn from him? Or will we live our lives in this world based on our own understanding of how it works? Or taking advice from people who didn't rise from the grave? That's an interesting thought. There's lots of so-called wisdom out there. But the amazing thing is, none of those people came back to life after they'd been dead. Didn't happen. It did for Jesus. The reason we're in an interesting position with Jesus' teachings is because his words are often challenging for us to hear. And even more challenging at times for us to act on. He teaches us to do things that are against our nature, this risen Lord of ours. He teaches us not to covet our neighbor's possessions. Could we commit to that? He teaches us to forgive those who have sinned against us and to love even our enemies. This is where it really gets strange for us. That's a hard thing to do, Jesus, to love our enemies. We saw it on Good Friday. He did that for us. He teaches us never to hold a grudge. Something else we're very good at. To pray for those who hurt us. He teaches us to set aside ourselves, that includes our pride and our need to be right, for the sake of others and service to him. It turns out that's some pretty good advice for marriage right there. Set aside your pride and your need to be right. But he also says that God cares for us more than the birds of the air, more than the lilies of the field, that he provides all we have, and that we shouldn't be anxious at all or worry about anything, because our Father in heaven cares for us. He teaches us this too, that if we build our life on his word, we've built it on the rock. But if we build our life on our own ideas, or some so-called wisdom of the world from people who did not rise from the grave, that our life is built on shifting sand and the house will fall and suffer its loss. He says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. He also says, do not store up your treasures on earth. Oh. We're good at that, right? But store them up in heaven, where thieves don't break in and steal. He gives us many challenging teachings, this resurrected Lord of ours, all proven to be perfect truth at his glorious resurrection. Another thing this means is that everything he said that will come in the future will certainly, without a doubt, take place. Did you know there's a group called the Messianic Prophecy Bible Project? Ever heard of them? Over in Jerusalem, actually, is where they base. And they have actually restored all the vessels that are supposedly going to be used in the new temple. Kind of end time stuff there. The new temple that they're going to build in Jerusalem, they say. Did you know, according to Christian Headlines, just recently, the state of Texas shipped 3 red heifers to Jerusalem for sacrifice. They were inspected by the rabbis when they arrived, and they are found to be without blemish. They're ready for, that's what they use red heifers for in Leviticus, the dedication of the temple. Another weird thing. People all around the world have been hearing these sounds. Have you seen this stuff? The trumpet sounds that people have been hearing? They've been reporting it. Trumpet sounds? It's kind of wild. Now, we're skeptical of all of this, but we know Jesus could return even today, even before this long-winded preacher's done talking. He could show up. The days of the world are numbered, and the earth is temporary. So it's by the resurrection that we can be sure what Jesus said is true. He's coming again. We don't know the time. We don't know the hour. Jesus says these things are fixed in the Father's authority. But we're taught to live every day as if it's the day of his return. The scriptures say, stay awake. That we should keep our lamps burning for him and always be ready. Funny story. If you drive by my house at night, you'll see the porch light on. And I think people drive by and think, oh, Pastor left his porch light on again. But in my house, it's a thing with our family. Daisy's shaking her head, yes. We leave it on for that, for him, every night. When the bulb burns out, we put it back. We've always done it since the kids were little. The reality of his return is set into final motion and revealed more clearly at Easter. The Apostle Peter, preaching in the beginning of Acts, says, these are the last days. Clear back then, 2,000 years ago. We better be ready because Jesus said it was going to happen. It will be just as he said. He's coming back. He told us. But the question of how to be ready for that, you know, that's a question that often gets answered really, really badly. How can we be ready? What does it mean to be ready for the arrival of our risen Lord? It's often answered badly because self-righteous people, as Jesus says, strain at gnats and swallow camels. They make the little things into the biggest things, and the big things they ignore or never focus on. And Peter, he helps us connect Easter to the big things in our reading from Acts. If you heard when Daisy read it in Acts chapter 10, but God raised him on the third day. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What's the biggest thing about Christ's resurrection to us? It's what he told his disciples to preach. That whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. The big thing about Easter is Jesus' forgiveness. Listen to his own words in Luke 24. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, he says, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. This morning we celebrate the resurrection. And so this morning we celebrate our forgiveness. His word will always prove true, just like it did with the women on that first Easter. So I have to ask you this morning, have you ever doubted God's forgiveness? Maybe you're doubting it this morning, even on Easter. Maybe I am. Like when we sin and we do it the same way over and over and over, the 100th time, the 1,000th time that we're asking God, please forgive me. The devil gets in our heads on this. And he causes us to really wonder or doubt whether or not Jesus is going to, you know, really forgive us again for that. How many times will he forgive you for that? If you're truly repentant for that, wouldn't you stop doing it? Wouldn't I? This is the kind of stuff that goes through the head. And what can we do when we feel this way? Look at the cross. See how much he loves you. See what he was willing to do for you. And then look at the resurrection. Your forgiveness is sure. It's real. It's living and it's breathing, and he's coming back. That means as sure as Jesus rose from the grave, seen by many witnesses, spoken by angels, attested by the Holy Scripture, as sure as he lives, that's how sure you're forgiven. As Christians, we'd never doubt the resurrection of our Lord. But why would we doubt our forgiveness then? Sin, it just has a way of keeping us guessing, having us focus on all the little things and not the big things. It has us looking at our own lives, right? This is what sin does. We can pretend like it's not there, but it doesn't matter. It still is. And this is what it does. It turns us in on ourselves. It always has us looking at us, saying, what's the problem with me? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? It's always going right back here, all the time. We're always examining. We're always measuring. We're always testing ourselves to see if we're good enough. Are we good enough for God? And then when something goes wrong, we're in a tailspin. We don't know which way's north. And life can get tricky. Real tricky. I don't have to tell any of you. It always has us doing that. It has us swallowing those camels and straining at those gnats all the time. But the resurrection shows us and proves to us what Jesus said is true. His message is forgiveness. And we are really forgiven no matter what. He loves us. Look at the women in the gospel reading from Matthew. When he appears to them, what do? Because on the way back from the tomb, they were going to tell the disciples. But Mark lets us in his account of a little fact, that they were so scared they weren't going to tell anybody. Until guess who shows up? Jesus. He meets them. This is verse 9 and 10, and says, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. Why should they not fear? Because he's there, and he's alive and well. Their Savior, their forgiveness stands before them. And why should we not fear? Because he's come here to us this morning, according to his own word. As he told us, he promised to be with us on Easter. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I am in the midst of them. And we hear it all the time. We hear that verse in church all the time. Right? We say, oh, cool. That's great. Wonderful. Beautiful. No, it really is. Think about the tomb. Think about what the angel said. He is risen, just as he said. He is here, just as he said. Promises, according to his own promises. And where he is, there is no doubt. Every word that he said is true. This morning, we receive his own body and blood, the very life of God poured into us. Our risen Lord is here, and here to do what? To make sure you don't leave these doors thinking there's anything between you and your heavenly Father. To forgive us. To calm our fears and our doubts, and to remind us of his love. Because when the world turns us in on ourselves and has us always looking here, 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 we miss the truth. Because the truth is outside of us in the Word of God. No matter what sin has got us No matter what's happened, he has defeated it all. Easter shows us that he'll stop at nothing to save us. After all, what could stop him? He's God over all, and he loves us. Who could bring him into question? No one. It's just as he said. Because he's risen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we recite our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service where we have the opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an Easter instrumental from our organist now. Come to our time of prayer today. Our prayer is found on page 9 in your bulletin, and this morning our prayers are responsive. Let us pray. Gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you you have raised your Son from death's grave so that life everlasting may be given to us through faith in him. Lead us to a firm reliance upon our risen Savior, trusting that he is victorious over our greatest enemies of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Lord Jesus, grant that the message of that first Easter day change hearts and lives on this day when we celebrate your victory over death and the grave. Give strength and peace to those who grieve the death of those they love. As you now reign with the Father at his right hand, you govern all the peoples and nations of this world, including the country where we live. We are strangers in this land that is not our own. So give us hearts that anticipate the day you will welcome us into eternal life. Holy Spirit, you bring the reality of Jesus' resurrection into our lives today, uniting with Christ those who have been baptized into his name.
Bless us through any joy or triumph, defeat or difficulty we may face.
We lift up before you ourselves, our families, our community, and our family in Christ in this congregation. We name and ask for your care, healing, and comfort for Emilio Lujan, Shannon and family, Nathan Poole, the family of Armin Stolp, the family of Kirsten Jones Peasley, Brooklyn Clasby, Leroy Martinez, Betty White, Carolyn Jury, Rita Allen, Sandy Cody, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Holy Spirit, give us joy in knowing the fellowship of the communion of saints, the peace of sins forgiven, the comfort of the resurrection, and the sure and certain hope of life everlasting with you in the promised land of heaven. Those of you joining us on the radio this morning, we wish you a blessed Easter and thank you for joining us. Those who are gathered here in the sanctuary with us, we invite you to turn to page 10 in your bulletins and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has guaranteed for us the promised land of everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, with Peter and James and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on us and have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may raise up in us a living faith in our risen Savior. Prepare us to look forward joyfully to our heavenly inheritance in your promised land, even as we now receive Christ Jesus as he comes to us in his body and blood. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.